teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall.
And good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Tuesday, August the 26th, 2008 broadcast of Become a Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts. Good afternoon. Today I'm going to set aside a lot of the material that I had in mind because I'm kind of in a different mood today, just kind of drifting around in my head, lots of things, and I stumbled through some of my books that I just find so fascinating. But we've laid out so much material in the last 60 days, and I've heard very little from you. So today's an open lines broadcast. You can call in any idea that you have in mind. I'd like to hear your feedback on some of the material that I have shared with you. Find out whether it's pertinent or interesting or boring or mundane or irrelevant or whatever. Just kind of get your feedback on all of this. We're witnessing this election cycle at its worst, I think. When you get down to the conventions, all of the propaganda and all of the lies are then laid out on the table for everybody to look at, and we can see what kind of a dialectic we're involved in. And so I kind of have that in my spirit as well, just kind of weighing me down, knowing that the people are really getting swindled again. And it makes me sad because we're at a defining point in American history, and if we don't do something really substantial, folks, soon, this program is going to be coming to, not in this program, but the whole idea is coming to just an absolute end, and maybe this program as well. If we can't do something substantial here, and if we're just going to go marching blindly and blithely into the new world order, I just don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say to you. How to energize you, how to get you excited, how to get you to think of your children, perhaps. Or I don't have any children. I'm not a married person. So it when I fall over, I could tumble at any time and drop in the yard or whatever. That's it for me. But it's not it for your children if you're married and have children, your grandchildren, if you're young and you're just coming up, thinking about having children. You've got your whole life in this on this planet to look forward to. I just weep in my spirit for you because I just don't know what to tell you other than if we don't get real serious and very effective soon, things are going to go very badly in the next few decades, and I'm confident of that. I've done too much research to think that we need to put on our sunglasses because the future's looking bright. It's not looking bright at all. It's looking quite grim. But as you know, I like to say that I'm all about solutions, and it's more than just saying it. I think I'm have put together information for you so that you can understand that unless we get rid of this two-party political system and all the baggage that goes with it, we don't have a prayer. I mean, we're into this so deep right now that it can't even support itself on its own on feet. So anyway, I've got a couple of things I'd like to share with you today. One of them is a booklet that I have had in my library for a long time. I used to do, I did the last 2 months of Chris Kerner's American Exposé broadcast right here on RBN at almost precisely the same time slot. As we're talking today, it was from 2 until 4 o'clock. I'd had no experience whatsoever in being a broadcaster, and I wasn't connected to the Internet, and I was really scrambling just to try and come on the air every day with the broadcast to fill those 2 hours out. And we got into all kinds of material then. We talked about planning, urban planning, in the same kind of detail that we're talking about parties. But when we come back from this break, we're going to go into a book that I talked about then, I introduced then, but we never got to open the first page. So we're going to do that today. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Fat burners. I like the sound of that. Fat burners. Life change fat burners. When fat burners are used in conjunction with life change tea, you're going to see a change in your life. Maybe you'll be a movie star. Maybe you'll drive NASCAR. Maybe you'll be a lion tamer. Well, maybe not a lion tamer. Get energy, lose weight, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Your fat burners and tea are available at GetTheTea.com. Get energy, lose weight, GetTheTea.com. Your fat burners and tea are available at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And don't forget to ask about our Mid-State Fair special. That's GetTheTea.com.
Do you ever forget names or where you left your glasses? Christine also realized she didn't remember like she used to.
I'm forgetting where things are occasionally, or I go into a room and I'm wondering, now, why am I here?
She often forgot and misplaced things like her keys.
I would spend so much time looking for things like that, and I just would assume that that was just a part of aging.
Then she discovered Prevagen. Special proteins in our brain responsible for keeping cells alive that control learning and memory are depleted with age. Now there's a new option to replace these proteins, Prevagen. If your ability to remember is fading with time, try all natural Prevagen, PrevaGen.com. That's Prevagen.com.
And I find that in my business, I'm able to focus on the tasks at hand.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Prevagen, call 888-814-0814.
And so I'm not as forgetful, and it's really helping me that way.
Call 888-814-0814.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in an FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Now, the booklet that I got from a San Francisco book publisher, actually a used bookstore. I'm familiar with this bookstore. I used to live for about a year in the Haight-Ashbury district. I lived right on the corner of Haight and Ashbury when it meant something to live there. But the Mission District, there's lots of communist and socialist material available in San Francisco. There's lots of progressive material that's there. There was a very unusual lifestyle that was occurring back in those days. But I came across the title of a booklet, and I was looking for it, and I wanted it. I wanted to get it and add it to my library. I've got quite a bit of material that was by Marx and Engels in my library. I've studied these guys. And the one that I wanted to get, I couldn't get. But I did finally remember the name of this bookseller, which is not on the top of my head at the moment, out in California. And so I did a web search for them, and they were still in existence, and I got a hold of the fellow, and it sounded like the same guy that I used to talk to at the counter. And nevertheless, I got a copy of this little book. I had him send it to me. I had to pay a lot for it compared to what it was originally published and circulated for. But nevertheless, this is a little booklet. It's called Proletarian Lessons. Yeah, I was going to run a contest to see if you could guess what I was reading from and just start reading it and see whether you pick up on it or not. But originally it was 25 cents. I gave $10 for it plus shipping. But this is by John Karacher, K-E-R-A-C-H-E-R. And the cover, it's just a paperback, a heavy covered paperback. But it is stapled. It's not sewn or it's not glued or anything like that. It's basically a pamphlet. Many pages in a pamphlet. There's almost, let's see, there's Oh, 62 pages plus the overleaf. So it's 60, there's 34 total sheets involved in it, something like that. Anyway, nevertheless, this is Proletarian Lessons. And when I open it up here, open the cover, it has in handwriting, Workers Party, Los Angeles section. Workers Party, Los Angeles section, in someone's handwriting. Quite neat handwriting. this was, again, written by John Carreker. And it was published in Chicago by Charles H. Kerr and Company, K-E-R-R and Company, a cooperative. It was printed, but it is not. There's no date associated with it. It's not a copyrighted work at all. It's the press of John F. Higgins, who was a member of the Union, of course, at 376 West Monroe Street in Chicago. Printed in the United States of America. So, here are the contents. Just read them down. What is the class struggle? What is the state? What is the working class political action? Revolutionary movement, revolutionary political action and the labor movement. What is proletarian education? What is Marxian knowledge? These are the lessons, the proletarian lessons that this book offers to the initiate, if you will, in the early times of the advance of communism in the United States of America. And I'm just going to read, and if you want to call in, again, the number, or I haven't stated it yet, but the number is 1-800-313-9443. If you want to talk about any of the things we've discussed here on Become Vocal Local since its inception 2 months ago, your calls will be welcome today. And I'm just going to read from this, and if we have no callers, we'll read from this, and then I'll go over to the Federalist Papers and read something from that as well. But here's the first lesson. What is the class struggle? Proletarian lesson number one. What is the class struggle? Is it something that simply exists in the minds of certain people, or is it a condition that has been brought about by agitators who have stirred up strife between capital and labor? These and many other questions may be asked as a result of the current misconceptions and misrepresentations of what the class struggle really is. Of course, there are people who maintain that it is simply a myth, as classes in society do not exist. Others admit that it may exist in other countries, but there is no such thing as a class struggle in free America. It is my purpose here to give as brief an outline as possible of the social phenomenon that is universally known as the class struggle. And in subsequent lessons, I shall try to explain the different aspects of the struggle and the nature of the social arrangements and institutions that arise from the struggle of the classes. First, remember that the class struggle is not a mere theory. It is a social condition. It is something that is going on all around us. It expresses itself in a continuous conflict between different social classes. The forms and conditions of the conflict may change from time to time, but the conflict itself is a continuous. At times, it is more or less recessive, almost peaceful. Again, it may be violent in certain districts or in certain industries for a period of time. In its higher stages, it takes on the form of civil war. Almost every civil war in history has been a struggle between classes, a struggle for power, for political control of a nation. Now, isn't that exactly what we were talking about with political parties? The struggle for control of a nation? Continuing. The English Civil War in the days of Cromwell was just the natural outcome of a great class struggle. It was a struggle between the aristocracy, the Cavaliers, and the rising capitalists, the Roundheads, with victory for the puritanical capitalists. The American Civil War was a class conflict also. It was a struggle for political control of the USA. A struggle between the slaveholders of the South and the industrial capitalists of the North, with victory for the latter and the elimination of the former as a class. What is the daily aspect of the struggle? In its higher form, the class struggle manifests itself politically, but in its elementary form, it is economic. Isn't that what we were talking about yesterday with the parties, that the party models are largely economic? Its simple outline is a daily conflict between employers and employees. One might also say between the creditors and the debtors. The worker struggles involuntarily, although sometimes consciously, to get a higher standard of living. Isn't that what Agenda 21 is all about? Raising the standard of living by bringing down others until we all get down to the level of the Bolivian peasant, as Dr. Stan likes to say. This struggle to keep down the worker's standard is not from a mere maliciousness, but it is in order to obtain higher profits. What is good for the capitalist is bad for the worker, and what benefits the latter usually injures the former. It is plain that if the worker gets more wages, the immediate effect will be that the capitalist has to get along with less profit. In other words, it's all about being more, not having more. Some economists tell us that the more wages the worker gets, the more profit does the capitalist make. Certain labor leaders, when making a plea to the capitalists, use that argument against the incessant efforts of the employers to cut down wages. If the claim were true that capitalists would be raising wages all the time, as every increase of pay would bring a corresponding increase of profits. Aren't there those that talk about raising the minimum wage and raising the minimum wage? Then there's those that argue against that. Two sides of this dialectic. Here's another subhead. The individual. The capitalist is an individualist and acts individually as his individual business is concerned. The worker is also an individualist as far as his individual pay envelope is concerned. Generally speaking, neither the one nor the other is governed by altruism. Of course, altruism was a word that was coined by Auguste Comte. They do not act for the good of mankind nor even the benefit of other members of their own class. So here's this idea of individualism, and haven't we heard that this big struggle is between the individual and the collective? Of course, here in this proletarian handbook, the individual is considered as an individual, whether they be capitalist or worker. Class consciousness. If either capital or labor combines into a class and acts class consciously, it is because they have learned that their individual interests can best be advanced in that manner. Individually, they are weak. Collectively, they are strong. There's your dialectic. Both classes, therefore, organize their forces for no other reason than the advancement of their individual interests. What makes the conflict a class struggle? The fact is that a very large number of people having a common need, more pay, for instance, combine. And another class of people with needs in common, more profits, say, act in the same way. So you have the chambers of commerce, the chambres de commerce, and then you have the labor unions. It's this two sides of this struggle. Two sides of this struggle, the capitalists and the workers. But don't lose track of the idea that the aristocracy, the cavaliers, the Tories, are still above all of this. They're looking at manipulating both the capitalist and the workers, pitting them against each other to advance their overall program. So what makes this conflict a class struggle? The fact is that a very large number of people having a common need, more pay for instance, combine, it's collective, and profits in the same way. So anyway, we'll be back right after this break. Stay with us.
Heart. Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with colds, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Okay, we can just drop that almost immediately with Carrie when we come back from the breaks, because I can't talk over that music. Anyway, maybe we should get an oboe and a cello and a duet or something to play so that it's not so difficult to hear. Skype has a difficulty overcoming the big music from the network, I think. And I don't know whether I need to create my own music track or something to put in, but we'll figure that out. In the meantime, we'll just continue back to this book. And really, I can't tell you how old this book is. From the yellowness of the pages and from the beautiful black ink, I can tell you it's old. I don't know exactly how old, but it's probably in the first decade or two of the 20th century, 1910 to 1920, somewhere in that vicinity. So going back again, what makes this the conflict a class struggle? We started that one. The result of those opposing interests is a struggle between classes, those two great social classes, each trying to do the opposite, bring about a condition of constant conflict. That's the tension, this tension that needs to always be there in order for systems of government to function. It is something born out of existing conditions and is not the result of preconceived designs. That's a little bit deceptive. How to tell a class? A class is not a biological development, nor is it a condition of nature. Capitalists, for instance, are not of all of one height or weight or race or color, nor are they alike mentally. Some of them are smart, and others are very stupid. Some of them are spendthrifts, others are misers. Most of them are parasites. Very few of them would be missed. A class is an economic alignment. It's a social thing. The real way to tell what constitutes a class is to observe how vast numbers obtain their income. The Chinese Wall, which divides the people of America and other capitalist nations, is an economic one. All the people on one side get their income through profit, interest, or rent. Those are the capitalists. On the other side of the wall are those who get their income in the form of wages. They are the proletarians. Just ask yourself the question, how do I get my income? If it comes from interest or dividends, or from the profits of a business, or from rent, then you must be a capitalist. But if you're depending upon the contents of a pay envelope, you are certainly a proletarian, a modern wage worker. Class struggle. A political struggle. The struggle of the two great classes, bourgeoisie and proletariat, the capitalists and the wage workers, is basically an economic conflict. It is a question of bread and butter, plus a few cheap luxuries for the one class, and a desire to hold and, if possibly, increase these. With the other, it is not merely bread and butter, but great and expensive luxuries of all kinds, such as limousines, yachts, mansion houses, high-grade clothes, and other wonderful products of labor, too numerous to mention. To hold and increase these luxuries at the expense of the producers is the chief aim of the owning class. That is the elementary nature of the struggle, but it is much more complex in its form and operation. The class struggle would never get beyond its elementary economic status, but for the fact that the rich have at their disposal a highly organized institution for the purpose of maintaining their privileges. For preventing the poor from taking possession of industries and putting them under the control of society. This powerful institution is the state, more commonly called government. Very interesting. Proletarian lesson number two. What is the state? I like to say, in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. But what is the state? Proletarian lesson number two. There are various opinions as to what the state or government is, how it originated, and what is its purpose. The old conception of the state was that it was of divine origin, and that it functioned in harmony with the will of God. The king and the aristocratic ruling class held their power directly from the Almighty. But in these days, there is only a shadow of that belief left. The divine right of kings and governments have almost gone. The present conception of the state, we might say the vulgar conception, is that governments, quote, obtain their power by the consent of the governed, close quote. This is the recognized conception of the state. Such a view, of course, is in harmony with the interest of the capitalist class, who control the press, the pulpit, and the educational system. The average worker, who is trained to think along those lines, believes, because he votes the way he is trained to do, that he has something to do with the operation of the state. The modern working class movement, which is as yet backward, contends that the state is always has been the means whereby a ruling class holds a subject class in check. Bottom of the hour, intermission. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect, that yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard, and also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries, they help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
One time. Thank you. Okay. So, now, Karl Marx described this whole process as the public power of coercion. Coercion. And if we remember from our readings in Galambos, he's talking about the same thing. When we read from Frederick Bastiat, the law, it's the same thing. Always we can use the idea that government is force and be correct in our analysis. Let's go into it a little deeper now. A class necessity. Well, before I do, can you hear in all of these words, folks, So much of what we hear still yet today? These are the same, these are like almost age-old questions now, ever since the rise of the Marxist philosophers, Marx and all of his followers. But Marx, of course, wasn't the first in this writing. But we've got this struggle that's going on between the classes, this proletarian. Now here, almost 150 years later, we can see what happened in the nations that fell, if you will, to communism. They did not do well. Socialism is a dependent. It's like a junkie. It always needs a fix. It needs a fix of other people's money. It needs to go back to the capitalists who they rail against to support their system, because their system is failed on its face. But yet at the same time, I think we can learn a lot in here in these proletarian lessons to get an idea for how this message was inculcated and how it was sold to the John and Jane average man, USA. And so when we're out talking with people in our local precinct groups and around in the area, some of the material that is being shared with you here will show ways that you can present information so that people get it and don't recoil against it. This is the way our country was taken over. And so by finding out the philosophies and the methods of how it was done, it might help us in ways of undoing that damage. Let's go into it a little further. A class necessity. Before the advent of civilization, man lived for countless ages in a classless society. Tribes and clans owned the land and primitive means of livelihood in common. The domestication of animals and their development into flocks and herds resulted in their becoming the property of individuals and furnishing those individuals the means of enslaving their propertyless fellow tribesmen as well as captives taken in tribal warfare. Slavery was the first form of exploitation, the first way of making men and women labor for a bare existence and furnishing comforts and luxuries for the class of propertied owners who enslaved them. The first states that arose, those of the great civilization of the past, such as Babylonia, Greece, Carthage, and Rome, were all based upon slavery. The state is a necessary institution where property and propertyless classes exist. It is the organized power by which the property-owning class rules society and coerces the subject, propertyless class. In the feudal period, the state evolved again out of the barbarous tribes of Europe. The feudal state was not based primarily upon the ownership of human beings or slaves, but upon the ownership of land. The land slaves, serfs, were at the mercy of the land-owning aristocrats. The feudal ruling class exploited their serfs in a way peculiar to that land-owning civilization. They did not give them food, shelter, etc., such as the ancient slaves received for their labor, but they let them produce their own food, clothing, etc., in so many days of each week upon a portion of land allotted to them, serf soil. The serfs had to work the rest of the week on the estates of their masters. For this service, they received no pay whatsoever. The state and industry, out of the feudal state emerged the present state, the capitalist form of government. The modern parliamentary form, with universal suffrage, is the highest development that masterless class society has produced. The modern industrial system, with educated workers, has made the parliamentary, democratic state necessary. The present state is not based upon the ownership of slaves, not primarily upon the ownership of land, but upon the ownership of industry. The instruments of production, modern machinery, are owned by a non-producing class. The state, or government, is the institution whereby that class maintains its ownership and enjoys the fruits of the workers' labor. The capitalist state is not so clumsy as its predecessors, the slave and feudal states. It uses deception much more efficiently than the states of the past. It hides its main weapon, repression, more successfully. As long as the deception works, the state appears to be a government of the people, capitalists and wage workers, by the people and for the people. This is the cleverest deception of modern times. The school, the press, and the pulpit work overtime on this clever lie. The state does not take off its mask unless circumstances compel it to. Its spokesmen, the statesmen, speak of justice to all and the rights of the people, the welfare of the country, etc. But when it becomes necessary for the workers to strike for more pay or shorter hours, or even to resist encroachment upon their hours and wages, then the other weapon, repression or coercion, is resorted to. And we're going to be seeing some repression and some coercion in connection with the Democratic National Convention and the Republican National Convention. And let's remember that these weapons are rolled out by the state to preserve their hegemony over the working classes, largely because the collectivist mindset teaches this stuff to the worker to create agitation so that the worker then thrusts them into their leaders into the position of power, which was the dialectic that was desired all along. Here we go. Let's continue. The real power. The process is to call out troops and other coercive machinery of the state and point the bayonet at the breast of the worker. Deception, as a weapon, is not abandoned. It is simply supplemented by the real power of the state, or force. If the worker who is hungry, while the capitalist may be overfed, is willing to starve in silence, then it is not necessary for the state to unmask completely. Statesmen still talk of fair and just settlements in the interests of everybody. The capitalists sit tight and watch hunger and suffering defeat the unarmed peaceful workers while their state forces, armed to the teeth, await the signal for action. Should the workers resist the starvation process and seek to lay hands upon the overstocked food stores or seize the factories or otherwise menace the interests of the capitalists, then the state unmasks completely. It throws deception to the wind and makes use of its real weapon. It shoots, if necessary, the workers into submission. Often when a worker awakens to an understanding of the real nature of the state and sees it as an organized force, he renounces all weapons but force. He abandons the use of the ballot and proclaims himself as opposed to sending workers into parliamentary bodies. Many ingenious arguments are used by the anarcho-syndicalist and the other anti-parliamentary revolutionists. Another lesson, proletarian lesson number 3. Who is the working class and political action? Who is working class political, no, excuse me, what is political class, working class political action? Boy, it's in bold type here. Proletarian lesson number 3. What is working class political action? Here we go. The political action of the working class is determined by the economic needs of that class. And since the economic needs of the proletariat must ultimately lead to a struggle for the conquest of the economic resources, the machinery of production and the products, it follows that proletarian political action must of necessity be revolutionary. While capitalism, like any other social system, rests upon economic foundation, its ownership is upheld and maintained by political power. The methods of the workers will use to overthrow the capitalist will, of course, vary according to the different countries and the varying conditions. The revolutionary approach will be different in some countries from that of others. The ruling class throughout the world is in control of many states. The political power functions somewhat differently in the various countries, but it is all of the same general character. At different times and in the same country, it may operate differently as a result of the historic development and the objective conditions for the time being confronting the ruling class. Political action embraces a wide range of activity. In a revolutionary sense, it implies any action that has for its object the overthrow of the political power of the ruling class. It implies even more in a general way. It embraces any action that will weaken the power of the ruling class with the object of its overthrow. And so here in all of this, we can see that much of this struggle, if you will, for freedom, harkens all the way back to the war for independence. You know, as I've said before, the American Revolution was considerably different than the War of Independence. We can mark the War of Independence on a timeline, from point of beginning to the point of conclusion. But this American revolution, this revolution for freedom, supposedly, one would hope that that was what it's all about, is ongoing, and it's not over yet. And so we're still involved in the process. And as we come to understand more about political science and philosophy and the mysteries and economics and all of that, then we can get a better understanding for the time in which we live. We really are in a defining moment of our development on the planet. I'm not an evolutionist. I don't even give the genetic modification the title evolution. It's manipulation. I believe that we were created. You may not go that way, but that's your prerogative. So anyway, we understand then that we're being led into a new phase of human development, humankind. We've come through this, as August Comte says, the three stages of human development. In the first stage, we're led by the priests. In the second stage, it's metaphysical in nature. Metaphysical arguments come in. Now you have priest-kings, etc., kings. And then in the third stage, we go transition into the positive expression of human development, which is antithetical to all of the metaphysical and theological arguments. It's all based on the five senses reality, the things that we can measure, the things that we can touch, the things that we can feel. And so it's quite a transition. It's a huge transition. But we're going firmly into this positive stage of humanity that August Comte laid out in his positive polity and his positive philosophy and in his catechism for the positive religion, which drives a lot of the thinking of the people at the top today. And understanding that is important. One of these days I'll give a chat on August Comte in detail. So let's continue now from our little booklet here. Parliamentary activity as a part of political action. It has suited the purpose of certain organizations to pretend that political action is confined to voting and sending representatives into parliamentary bodies. The anarchists and syndicalists insist upon confining their concepts of political action to its parliamentary aspects. This makes it easier for them to ask their favorite questions in this relation. If the capitalists deny the workers the right to vote or to seat their elected representatives, then political action comes to an end, does it not? The action comes to an end, does it not? Question mark, close quote there. The Marxian political actionist, interesting word, isn't it? Marxian political actionist. Not holding this narrow conception answers, it does not. Why waste time, this is a quote, this is another one of these questions, why waste time running around, running candidates and electing workers to a capitalist parliament when it is quite clear that the capitalists will not surrender their political power to the workers even if their candidates obtain a majority of the votes and elect a majority in the parliaments? Question mark, close quote, ask the anarcho-syndicalist. So, if there's someone out there that's asking this question, why waste time running candidates and electing workers? Perhaps they're advancing the views of the anarcho-syndicalist. Here we go, continuing revolutionary politics. To the above question, there is more than one answer. It is premised upon the understanding that the capitalists will not surrender their political power to the workers. To the revolutionist, it is quite clear that they will not submit, but it is not so clear to the great mass of workers. Those have to be convinced of the fact by two general methods, explanation and actual experience. So much of what the Communist Party was doing is much of what we do every day on Republic Broadcasting Network and throughout the independent media. We are explaining and showing by actual experience the ways backwards, perhaps some say, to a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, or the way backwards to a time when we were more moral or held our Christian values at higher regard and higher esteem. But this is the same technique that was used by the communists to spread this message into the working class to create the modern political democracies that we've spent the last 7 or 8 days discussing. So those then have to be convinced. The majority can only learn by the latter route, that is actual experience. I'll say that whole sentence again. To the revolutionist, it is quite clear that they will not submit, but it is not so clear to the great mass of workers. Those have to be convinced of the fact by two general methods, explanation and actual experience. Those are the two general methods. The majority can only learn by the latter route. That's actual experience. And then he continues, some children do not get burned when their parents explain to them that fire hurts. Most of them have to burn their fingers. Many of them have to try the experiment several times. Okay, a little bit of humor, wry humor in there. Another good reason for the use of parliamentary action is the opportunity it affords to fight capitalist control at short range and to expose the class nature of legislation. The masses are still imbued with the belief that they are of a self-governing people and that laws are made in the...
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
There we go.
We can make it work.
Here's a story. You wash your car, how long does it last? 3 days? A week? 2 weeks? Life Change Tea eliminates chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and much more. The effect? You lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. So here's the story. You wash your car, it gets dirty again. You cleanse your body, chemicals and toxins come back. The fix? Stay on the tea! And here's how we will help. Ask for the Mid-State Fair Special when ordering. Here's how to order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get the tea. Restoring America's health, one tea bag at a time.
And we're back right here on Become Vocal Local. Now, as we were going into the break, we were just talking a little bit more about this revolutionary politics that is found in this book that I'm reading from, Proletarian Lessons, published in the early 1900s for sure. Now, I'll just stop there for a moment and say that tonight I've been invited to join Sam and Trish Britton on their Information Corner broadcast, and we're going to talk about pluralism, and indeed with Sam and Trish Britton's understanding of the world events and their huge perspective of being in the battle here for many years and running a micro-broadcasting system and doing a weekly broadcast. I'm sure the broadcast is going to be very, very interesting and enjoyable. It's going to air from 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock Central Time, And their website is theinformationcorner.com, theinformationcorner.com. It'll be broadcast over dixiebroadcasting.com at 9 o'clock Central. And do join us. It should be an interesting broadcast. So we'll go back now and wrap up quickly this proletarian lesson that we're working on, revolutionary politics. And it continues like this. To the communist, every approach to the wresting of power from the capitalist is a legitimate step. This is a no-hold-bar program. The capitalists have the power to abolish the press and the public forum, and we've seen that, and we've seen that in spades. Our anarcho-syndicalists know this quite well, but they make use of the press while the opportunity to do so is still open to them. They also hold street and hall meetings. And the Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty, the Walk for Liberty, is I think, just now wrapping up. So these are the street and hall meetings. Despite the fact that they know those rights, quote-unquote, can be taken away from them, they have had many such experiences at the hands of the capitalists, but still continue to make use of what measure of free speech and free press the capitalist system allows in order that they might perform smoothly. The same is true in relation to Parliament as in relations to the press or propaganda meetings. The capitalist class did not, in the first case, simply admit the representatives of the working class into their parliamentary bodies with the idea of fooling them. However, this is not a denial of the fact that working class representatives, both inside and outside of parliamentary bodies, are pulled around by the nose. The extension of the franchise to the proletariat, that's voting, was an inevitable development of capitalism. In its struggle with the aristocracy, it had to appeal politically to the workers and drag them into its fight. And we could go on, and we will go on. We'll come back to that at another time. A very interesting book. Didn't get a chance to go over and talk to John Jay and the Federalist Number 2. But just briefly from that document, he says here, "Nothing is more certain than the indispensable necessity of government, and it is equally undeniable that whenever and however it is instituted, the people must cede to it some of their natural rights in order to vest it with the requisite powers." And so we now have to understand that in this rise of statism, where we the people have set aside the natural law, we have given to our states much control over us. The power to tax, the power to enslave, and the power to destroy. And so I think it's time for a wholesale reevaluation of the process as we move into the 21st century. And perhaps we can convene in a group like the founders did and find a better solution. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local. My name is William Roberts. I thank you for listening. And until the next time, good afternoon.
Tell you why.